Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. Today I'm going to be sharing some more stories sent in by viewers just like you. It's been a long time since I've read some small town stories. Honestly, I almost forgot all about this series, and I'm glad that I remembered it. These, personally, are some of my favorite stories to read because I come from a small town myself. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a small town story or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Joining me today reading one of these stories is my good friend Darkness Prevails. If you enjoy his voice and haven't checked out his channel yet, be sure to check out his channel and subscribe. You can find the link to do so in the top of the description. Now, join us for some scary stories from small towns, sent in by viewers just like you. I come from a small railroad town in Wisconsin, and grew up in the peak emo scene angsty time, so as a form of entertainment and a subtle nod to what we consider rebellion at our young, naive age, we would walk around town amongst all of the county roads, train tracks, and abandoned buildings scattered throughout our little town. Most evenings, the scariest thing that would happen is a deer would hop out and spook one of us, or one of our more creative friends would try to convince us that some alien sighting or urban legend that they swore was true actually existed. We didn't take too many claims among the group seriously, honestly. This evening, however, was different. As we made our way through the shadows, our somewhat large group splintered off into little subgroups of twos and threes. We were a fairly large group of friends varying in age, so the younger ones would often pool together towards the middle of our caravan, while the older characters in our bunch held ranks on the outer edges. As we made our way back to one of the boys from one of our group's home, one of the more dramatic members of our swoop began to claim that someone was driving behind us at a slow distance with the headlights off. We all scoffed and started making jabs at him along with some childish ghost noises mocking that the ghost car was gonna get us. A few more blocks down, this boy that had claimed to have spotted our stalker grew more and more uneasy and stuttered out, "You guys, seriously, they are getting closer. I can hear their tires on the gravel." Noticing how anxious he now seemed and how far we still had to go, the older members of the group began to take his claims a bit more seriously, but did so in a way that would freak out the younger members. As we made our turn onto the paved floor, that meant we were two turns away from our safe haven, I said, "Hey, first one to arrive at the house gets to pick the movie we all watch." Since the younger children were usually subjected to watching whatever boring or spooky things the older ones wanted to watch, this made them take off at a full sprint. As soon as our feet hit the pavement, and we started our fast-paced race back to the promise of locked doors and my friend's parents waiting for us, headlights flicker on in sync with the roar of an old modeled engine. At this point, the younger children are running and yelling in unison, questioning, "What was happening, and who is that?" I surpassed the younger children and saw the sign that held the name of their housing complex that was nuzzled in a few trees. I saw the sign and yelled, "Everyone under the sign." We all skid to a stop and rolled underneath as the man slammed his brakes to a screeching stop. He threw his vehicle into reverse and began to circle the sign. I noticed his overhead light was casting an unsettling shadow over his face that appeared to consist of glasses that were far thicker than the seemingly thin hair that he had. Finally, as he rounded the part of the sign that was the sharpest turn to move around, I whispered loudly, "All right, everybody, through the neighbor's yard, let's go." We all moved at record speeds in comparison to our sluggish paces that we usually assumed on these late night endeavors. As we ran through the darkness that was slowly getting darker due to the thick cover of trees that now surrounded us, we suddenly and unfortunately realized that our neighbor had an otherwise beautifully landscaped yard that had small bridges and ponds through it. As many of us ran while jumping over small ditches, decorative hills, and lawn ornaments, we finally saw the road that separated the neighbor's home from our final destination. As we all approach the road, I see a gleam of headlights approaching. It's like this guy won't give up or something. We have to cross the road to finally achieve our sanctuary for the evening. As I saw these headlights approaching, I yelled, "Run, he's coming, we gotta go!" As all but one of us made it past me to the safety of the yard, I heard a faint "ow" behind me. As I looked back, I saw the youngest and by far smallest member of our ranks holding their knee while rocking next to a large rock. I looked at the small child and back at the vehicle that was now speeding to turn down the road toward us. I ran back to the child and scooped them up while yelling, "Leave the door open! Leave the door open!" The rest was a weird combination of slow motion mixed with the quickest experience of my life. The vehicle sped and narrowly missed us. When I arrived at the door, I dove in while holding the now crying child as though I was some athlete cradling the ball for a final score of a game. One of the older children slammed the door behind us and we all sat there silently sobbing while we told his parents what had just happened. We begged his parents not to tell the cops since we were all past our town's curfew. Now that I'm older, I wish that we would have at least told the non-emergency line so it was on the record, but it is what it is. To this day, I'm very, very wary walking home alone at night, and now that I have a son of my own, and he is nearing the age we were when this all happened, I'm even more on edge, because I know some of these stories are 100% real.
I've been listening for a couple of months. I've essentially heard every piece of content you have to offer at this point. Many of the stories made me ponder on my past. I grew up in a very rural area. Without saying it, I live in the middle of the United States. I've lived quite a few places, and at this specific piece of property, I had run-ins with crazy humans, odd sleep paralysis, and lucid dreams. Even potential extraterrestrial happenings. Depending on how this goes over, I'll tell more, but here it goes. One cold winter morning, I woke up ready to go explore our acreage. My folks were out of the state, showing livestock, so it was me and my younger brother. Our nearest living neighbor was about 15 miles away. Adjacent to our property ran a fence for miles that enclosed these behemoths. At the front of the neighboring property, there was a large red barn, and a 10-plus-foot tall gate, locked with large chains and a padlock. My younger brother, who we'll call Sam, and I went to patrol the fence and make sure everything was okay, as we did every day. As soon as I opened the garage door, trusty little 22 on my shoulder, ready to go, I froze in fear, staring down a longhorn calf. Now, when I say calf, I mean this thing was eye level with me, being a 6'3" tall, gangly teenager. I call it a calf because it didn't have the enormous horns. I immediately pushed Sam behind me and slowly walked back until I could close the garage. I called my dad and the farmer, who called the police. My dad told me to leave Sam inside and check the front gate. I hopped on my rickety three-wheeler and rode about a half mile to the front gate. Lying right in front was a fully grown longhorn steer on its side, deceased, with its stomach cut open from throat to back. It looked like it had been dropped, its left horn embedded in the soil, as if it had slowly been set down. Now we had our fair share of poachers out there. I'd been chased by one, a story for another time. The oddest part was the fence was completely closed and chained, as it was the day before when I had checked. There was no meat taken, nor any blood on the ground. The rancher and police showed up shortly after and deemed it likely poaching. Later that day, once everything settled down, I snuck through the electric fence into the area the longhorns had been grazing when I went to bed the previous night. The tall reed-like grass was pushed down in opposite directions, not in any specific pattern, but I remember recalling it odd. I began to exit the farmer's land through a small stream I liked to hunt, and found a coyote dead and dissected in the same way. There was no blood, and no sign of animals eating on it. Let me know what you guys think it was. I'm not sold on aliens, but I'm open to ideas.
I'm a short, 5'2 female living in Colorado. I'm 18 now, but this story happened when I was 14, and leading up to last year, I have been living with my grandfather a few towns over from the rest of my family since the summer of my freshman year of high school. My first summer here started good, working with my grandpa and making a little bit of money, but was happy being alone. After spending the last 13 or so years in a house full of 5 people, it was nice to be able to be in a house where I had my own space in a room with a big bed. I thought it would be a nice, getaway, being in a smaller town where I hadn't really known anyone and could make new friends. My grandpa invited me to go to a town dinner with him one evening, and I didn't have anything better to do, so I went with him and was already uncomfortable in the room full of people that I didn't know. So after I finished eating, I went outside to sit on the swing at the park. After sitting there for probably 10 minutes or so, I heard some rocks moving behind me and I turned to see a man walking around the swings. He was probably in his early 20s if I had to guess, and he was wearing a nice dress shirt, but it was wrinkled and stained and his pants were the same. When he noticed I saw him, he said, "Hey," in a very calm voice. I, being raised to be polite and not ignoring people, talked to him for a few minutes until the dinner was over and my grandfather drove around the park to pick me up. It wasn't until the next few months that I realized I made a big mistake talking to him that night. After I started school in that town, my grandpa was short on help, and he decided to hire that man to work with him. In my grandpa's words, "That boy's ladder doesn't go all the way to the top," meaning he wasn't smart and did very dumb things without realizing they were dangerous during work. Every time I would run into him in town, I would pretend that I didn't see him, and I would hurry and run to somewhere to hide until he left. A few weeks later, after my grandpa fired him and gave him his last check, later that same week, the man showed up at our house asking to get his job back, and my grandpa said he already got new help and didn't need him anymore. The man paused and then asked my grandpa if I was home. My grandpa ignored this question and shut the door. I thought that was the last time I would hear anything about him. Oh boy, was I all too wrong. In the next few months, my grandpa had hired new people to help him, and they knew that man. After school one day, my grandpa told me to be sure to avoid that man every time I saw him. I told him I had been, but asked why he was suddenly concerned about it again, and what he told me made me feel sick to my stomach. The man had told the people that worked for my grandfather that he was in love with a 14-year-old, and that he was going to marry her, but her grandfather doesn't know yet. They instantly knew he was talking about me and told my grandfather what he said. My grandpa was very angry, so I thought he was going to kill him. The next year I was outside smoking, enjoying the night air, and looking at the stars when I suddenly saw him right in my front porch. I threw my cigarette and ran inside, locking the door behind me and yelling for my grandpa, telling him that the man was just in the yard walking up to me. My grandpa grabbed his gun and went outside, but he couldn't find him anywhere. The next day, my grandpa went to that man's grandmother's house to tell her that her grandson was trespassing and he wouldn't hesitate to shoot him if he ever came up into the yard again. I didn't hear anything about him for a few years, and I thought that was going to be the end of dealing with him. But this last year, shortly after my 18th birthday, I was sitting at home in bed and I got a Facebook message from a random account with a name I didn't know. I opened the message and it's a bunch of disgusting messages with pictures and a video. I checked the username that was used to create the account and it was him. I freaked out and started crying and called my older sister, and she told me to screenshot the messages and send them to our mother so she could take them as evidence as harassment and go to the police. I did, and now I'm just hoping that it's over for good. To start off, let's set the scene. Picture a small town with one gas station settled in the foothills of Alberta, Canada. A very historic town where oil was first found. That's where I grew up. Here's a few stories that have kept me up for countless nights. As a kid, I never really believed in ghosts. I mean, I knew of them and heard stories, but never encountered one to say they were true. My first ghost encounter happened when I started staying over at my boyfriend's parents' house with him. Now, this house was old, somewhere in the ballpark of 100 years or so. It had a very uninviting feel to it. The house was set up like this. You entered the front door from the front porch to a moderate-sized living room with old hardwood floor and baseboards. You can go straight into a hall with 2 bedrooms and a bathroom. If you turn to the left from the living room, it's the kitchen. And to that, down a small set of stairs is the back door, and more stairs leading to the dark, musty basement. Downstairs are 2 rooms. One that was meant to be an entertainment room that has a bathroom attached, and the other small one was used for storage. The downstairs entertainment room was being used as a bedroom, and that's where we had been sleeping at the time. When I had moved in, things started moving around. Almost as if someone broke in, but the strange part was nothing was ever missing. Heavy objects, such as an air humidifier, were stacked in front of the upstairs bathroom. Everyone in the house assumed it was the new neighbors that had moved in next door. In a small town like this, you never lock doors, no need to. My boyfriend's mom was a campground attendant at the time, so we would hang out at the campground until 11 p.m. when she would go home. One night, during this activity, we decided to go home earlier. When we got home, all 3 dogs were at the time welcoming us as normal. We went to bed. About a half hour later, we heard someone walking in the house upstairs. Now that's weird because his mom was not home. She was still at the campground, and his golden retriever started growling. My boyfriend leaped out of bed, thinking it was a neighbor trying to break in. He grabbed a shotgun, which was unloaded, and started searching the house, room by room, corner by corner. No one was there but the dogs. Now, if you own a dog, you know you can tell the difference between a dog walking across a hard floor and a human. We go back to bed thinking we were just hearing things, but as soon as our heads hit the pillows, we hear someone run out. Now, a little backstory on this house. This isn't the first time a ghost has been seen or heard. Every time someone new moves in, it acts out, apparently, banging on the windows and exterior walls, looking into windows in the middle of the night or pacing in the downstairs hallway. Even one time tossing a crossbow off the wall across the room, not knocking a single thing over. The theory we have is that it wanted in the house, and when I moved in, it had a chance to come in. The creepy thing is, when we all moved out, we saw a post on Facebook asking if someone was messing around with their house and moving things, banging on the siding and breaking in at late at night. Another account is I had seen a ghost eye to eye for the first time. I was staying over at my boyfriend's sister's house, sleeping on the couch in the living room. When on the couch, you can slightly see into the kitchen. I was having a hard time falling asleep and kept seeing something moving in the kitchen. At first, I thought it was my eyes just playing trick on me. I got up to get a glass of water, though. As I'm walking in the kitchen, the lights turn on. I look over where the light switch was and saw a girl at about 5'2 with long black hair covering her face in a white dress that looked like an old-fashioned wedding dress from the 20s. In my tired state, I thought it was one of the kids messing around. I turn back to look at the sink and the light goes off and the girl is gone. My sister-in-law's kids were young and not tall enough to turn on a light. Also, they are blonde. What did I just see? Well, this house is haunted hands down. One of the little girls talks to someone named Oji, who lives in the ceiling. Tells her things like, "Go away, you're scaring me, or my mom's not gonna like that." It sets off toys that start to sing, and so on. This thing has been caught on security cameras walking across yards in the area apparently as well, but I have yet to see that footage, so I can't really verify it. This story happened around 2001 or 2002. An incident that had been long forgotten, but now, listening to, you know, your channel daily, I'm a delivery driver, it brought back and made me realize how weird and dangerous the situation could have been. At the time, I lived in southern Ohio, in a small town. We lived about 45 minutes outside of town in the middle of nowhere, where seeing people on the roads or in the area in general was extremely rare. We had one neighbor about a quarter mile down the road to the right, and then a large Amish family who lived a few miles in the opposite direction. At the time, I was 12 years old. I was outside in my football gear taking the dog out to the bathroom and messing around in the yard practicing for my game later that morning. Now, to describe the area more to help understand things better, we lived on a large farmland we rented that sat on about 150 acres. On the roadhead, the direction of which would eventually lead you to the Amish family home, was going up a small hill at about 100 yards. That direction, the road made a sharp right turn into a heavily wooded area where you could not see the road or anything other than trees. With being such an empty area, you couldn't see much, but it was so quiet and you could hear cars coming well before you actually saw them. This is a short story, but the details I'm giving are to help explain why this situation bothers me so much, so please bear with me. As I'm outside, I look up the road to see a man hobbling down the road in our direction. He sees me and he waves. I yell for my mom, as it's just me and her at home at the time, and it was rare to see someone walking so far out in the middle of nowhere. As he gets closer, I can see that he seems to be in pain, and his clothes are rather worn and ripped up. Mom comes outside, just about the same time he gets to the house. He begins saying he was just in an accident around the turn there, and needed some help, and asked to come in the house to use the phone and sit. My mom says she will grab the phone and he can sit on the chair on the porch and rest. He asks again to come in the house and tries to reassure her that there will be no problems, he's just in a lot of pain and wants to rest. My mom gets a look on her face, and says no, he cannot come in the house, she is not comfortable with that, and that he can stay on the porch while she fetches something in the house for him. He reluctantly does, and Mom shoots me a glance that I need to keep an eye on him. At this time, I was pretty young, but I hit a growth spurt early in life. With only being 12 at the time, I was already roughly 6'1", pushing 300 pounds. This man was 5'10 at best, if he was lucky and rather skinny. As she runs inside, I'm looking at this guy. Though his clothes are torn and raggedy, it does not look like he was in an accident. There was no blood, no cuts, not a single mark anywhere in his body. He starts to ask if anyone was home, as he's looking into our door, kind of peeking around, and looks around the area. I say no, but my dad should be home soon. Mom comes back out and tells him the cordless phone is dead. She will use the old rotary phone Dad refused to get rid of. He asks if she would like him to call 911 or any of his family for help. Man stands up and says, "I'll just come in and make the call to a friend that could tow my car." He starts walking to the door, and my mom says no, he is not welcome to come in. He then asks if he could come in to use the bathroom, he really needs to pee. Again, my mom says no, and he's welcome to walk across the street and pee in the bushes. He then asks to come into the house and grab a glass of water. My mom says she will grab it, and he needs to sit back down. With a huff of frustration, the man does, and Mom goes to grab him water. When she comes back with the glass of water, she has my dad's shotgun and places it by the door, inside of the house, not trying to hide it at all. The man sees this, and I watch his eyes become wide and start to become fidgety. She comes out to hand him the glass and asks who she can call for him. The man stands up and says he'll be fine and not to worry. He'll figure it out and walks away in the direction he came from. My mom watches and asks me a few questions and says he was making her feel very uncomfortable. I didn't really understand what was going on and why she was so worried about that man. He said he had flipped his car and apparently had to stop against the trees. I'm confused. His story didn't really make sense. My mom said something was off and asked if I had heard anything before he showed up. I said nothing. It was silent, as they always were. Never even heard a car coming. She stares for a few seconds and tells me to stay outside for a little longer to keep an eye out till Dad gets home, which should be any minute, and if the man comes back that she's leaving the shotgun by the door, and if I see him, grab it and yell for her. I'm confused at this point, but tell her I will and she goes inside. I watch as the man goes around the turn disappearing. About a minute later, my dad comes around that same turn. I go to him and tell him what had just happened. I only get a couple of words in till my mom comes out and starts explaining it all. After she was done, he asks what direction he was in. She tells him which way, and he gets a confused look on his face. My mom asks what it is, and my dad begins to say he just came from that area and there was no man, no vehicle anywhere in the directions. Nothing at all. Everything was normal. There were no signs of a rollover accident, and definitely no man walking on the road. My mom gets a worried look on her face, and they go inside, and that was the end of the situation for me. I have no idea what they talked about inside, if they called anyone, or anything like that. I almost immediately forgot about it, because I was so excited about my football that I didn't even think about this more. I am almost 30 now and never thought of this until a couple of weeks ago, when hearing a story on this channel which triggered the memory. I asked my dad if he remembers, but of course he didn't. He has a terrible memory, and it wasn't a situation he was really a part of. My mom unfortunately passed a few years ago, so I don't have the chance to talk to her about it anymore. Back in 2013, when my ex and myself first met, we would grab snacks, blankets, and pillows, load them into the bed of his white Chevy pickup truck and drive until daylight. We lived in a very rural small town in Alberta. We lived roughly 45 minutes to an hour from the city. Being small town, bored young adults in a small town, we had nothing better to do than drive late at night. We made it a game to find this movie/television set that was near our small town. We would get lost on gravel roads on our quest to hopefully stumble upon this set. Of course, being very dumb and young, we thought that it would be better to locate this set at night in hopes of not getting caught trespassing. We probably drove every back road searching and searching. One night on our hunt, we drove through this gully and it became dark. Like dark to the point it was black. Our headlights flooded in nothingness. We always had the radio blasting off our iPod. Suddenly, it was as if we picked up on some kind of radio station that was just blaring straight gibberish. I go to reach the volume button to turn it down. It shocked me, as if I was touching like pure electricity. Then one voice came through.
Hell.
It echoed through the speakers. After a few seconds, which felt more like an hour, it went back to the song we were listening to. To this day, we have no idea what jacked our radio up or what our radio picked up. What's scary is this back road was very close to an astrophysical observatory. Was it something trying to communicate or just radio static? I don't think I'll ever know, nor will I ever drive down that particular road at night ever again. I am a 20-year-old female and I live in Michigan in a small town. I was just 16 years old when these events happened to me. I'm a huge athletic nerd and I go hiking every day unless I feel lazy. I picked the wrong day to go one day and I met and experienced something I would not want to ever experience again. I drove to the hiking trail I go to just about every time I go hiking, and this day I saw a creepy guy who looked like he would be in his 30s. Me being the stubborn and hard-headed person I am, I just ignored my gut and went and started jogging on the trail anyway. I took a short glance at him and started going onto the trail. I probably got not much further than 200 to 300 yards away from the entrance and took a short break until I heard a scream from what sounded like a man and looked down the path, which made my heart drop instantly. I saw the guy running straight toward me. As my adrenaline rushed into me, I started to rush as fast as I could. This guy was running so fast he was catching up with me, and I was a really fast runner. The guy ran like he had taken 2 shots of steroids or something. As I started to cry in panic, I took a sharp turn into the woods and started to run back to the parking lot area. I kept hearing his footsteps not far behind me once again. I kept running, and the footsteps started to go slower as I was getting closer and closer to the parking lot. At last, I made it to the parking lot and cried tears of joy as I took out my cell phone and called the cops. Not too long after, they arrived and searched and found the man. He was a homeless 37-year-old man, who they said they found with a butcher knife in one of his coat pockets. Until this day, I'm glad I did ROTC throughout high school, or else I probably would not have had the energy to escape. I would have been screwed. The creepy maniac homeless guy that I ran into in the woods that day, I really hope I never see him again. I don't know whatever happened to him though. Before we end this video, I'm going to share one last story. This story, though, is going to be off the top of my head, it's not written down, and it is my own personal story. Being as I am from a small town, as I said in the intro, I'd like to share a quick story from a small town I grew up in. In this small town, we had quite a few abandoned houses and houses that had been burned down, etc. Being that this town was a boom town way back in the 1800s for coal and phosphate mining and all that, most of the old historic buildings are pretty run down and abandoned at this point. One day we decided to go explore this old, I guess, what we called slave quarters. I know at one point slaves did live there, but I'm not sure, like, exactly what part of this ranch or, I guess, farm, whatever you would want to call it, that these people would have been living at. There are no like actual quarters set up. There's just a couple of old houses that are dilapidated that I would assume would be the quarters. There's this one place that's kind of like a 2, maybe 3-story house. It's pretty dilapidated. It's got holes in the roof. It's falling apart. And next to it's parked like this old Jeepers Creepers looking truck. If you've ever seen the Jeepers Creepers movie, you would know what I'm talking about. It looked exactly like that. It has literally exactly the same. I would put money that it might even be the one from the movies, but I digress. We go into this little abandoned building thinking that we're going to go ghost hunting and maybe catch something on film or something on our little crappy little phones back then. This was probably maybe 6, 7, possibly even 8 years ago. I don't even remember, honestly. This was so long ago. All I do really remember was what happened next. I remember we kind of went through the whole house, nothing was really happening, jumping around holes and stuff like that in the floor. And then I remember we climbed up into the attic. And that's where everything went south. I'm up there. I'm the first one up there. My friend next to me, he's sitting in the entrance of this like crawl space that you come up into the attic. And then I'm kind of a little bit like a foot or two into the attic on one of the beams. I hear like what sounds like a rock or something being tossed. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's just something settling, maybe one of our friends is messing with us. So I tell everybody to stop. I'm like, okay, if there's somebody up here, do that again. And probably not even 30 seconds later, a rock, a small rock, not a big one, comes like careening at me, like lands toward my feet. I'm like, okay. At first, I'm trying to get my friends to be like, hey, you know, stop messing around. We're trying to be serious ghost hunters here, boys. But everybody's claiming that they're not doing anything. My other friend is, still in the entrance. And I remember just hearing him scream and lose it because suddenly he's freaking out, wiping at his head, acting like there's something there touching his hair. And I'm literally right there, so there's nothing there. I'm like, what are you freaking out? He's like, dude, a hand just grabbed my hair. And I was like, okay, that's weird. So he starts climbing down, and I'm getting ready to try to climb down too. As I'm starting to climb down this ladder, a bigger rock is thrown across the basement, or excuse me, not the basement, the attic, is thrown across the attic toward me and lands towards where my head would have been at that moment when I was ducking down. And that was such a weird experience. We got out of there real quick, did not want to stay around and see what was throwing that stuff. It could have been potentially a homeless guy, maybe living up there, but I doubt it because this is so far out in the boonies. And honestly, I don't think anybody has even been to that land in who knows how long. The grass was so high that it was taller than me, and at that point I was probably at least like 5'8 or something. But yeah, that's a short little personal tale of mine. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I know some people in the comments have complained about me sharing my story at the end. They're like, you should write it out, it doesn't sound rehearsed. But in my opinion, that's kind of the point of sharing my own personal story, is for it not to be rehearsed, is for me to share it off the top of my head, so you guys can really get that organic, real feel to the stories that I experienced, you know? I think it makes it a little bit different than me just reading somebody else's story as well. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true small town stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it really does help me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, in all things natural and supernatural. Much love and appreciation to my good friend Darkness Prevails. He helped me out a ton by reading story number 2 today. My allergies have really been kicking my butt this year, and I really do appreciate that. So if you can show him some love and subscribe to his channel, be sure to check it out using the link in the top of the description. I'm sure he'd love to see you guys over there. He covers creatures, woods, and all kinds of crazy stuff just like I do. If you guys aren't aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about every other podcasting platform out there. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. If you made it all the way to the end, do me a big favor and answer this question for me. What do you find scarier? Home Alone stories or break-in stories? Answer down below. I'd love to know. Maybe I'll do one of those topics soon. If you have a topic you'd like to suggest me to do that I haven't done yet, be sure to comment those as well. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.